the Forged and Unbroken podcast.
I recently attended a conference and I found myself in a room where others had experienced hurt, loss, and danger to their lives. And it's not hard to find in this profession. Some experience more than others, but rest assured, you do this job long enough, and it's just a matter of time before hard events are going to come your way. And this can cover a wide range of causes, from poor leadership, to a career-changing injury, to losing a brother or sister, or perhaps it's just the stress in a relationship at home or work, or the health concerns of a loved one. No one is immune to it, and it can be in our careers, in the firehouse, or at home. And it was in that room of fellow professionals that I was reminded of a quote, "Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional." It's a quote that has been often cited throughout history, though there's disagreement on where it first originated, and that's neither here nor there. This idea encapsulates so much of the human experience. Further, it is in this construct that separates those who seemingly make it out of the din of hurt, or those that allow this pain and suffering to further its hold. It's growth versus injury. But if you allow it, it's a double injury. The first of the initial pain, and the second being the suffering that you take on. Now, evolutionarily speaking, thinking negatively or pessimistically could have been a mode of safety. To think of all the bad things that could happen to you, like running out of food or being mauled by an animal, propped up decision-making that led to safety. And as far as the tribe is concerned, to have awareness of your status and how you operate within the tribe meant that you are aware of your safety within it or your chances of being expelled from it. And these were primal instincts that led to safety in the group. But fast forward to today's society with abundance and resources, that concern is hardly real. And as philosopher Seneca said, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. At some point, some awful situation will have befallen us, but in our minds, we commonly make it grander than what it truly is. Or perhaps we allow some awful situation to maintain its grip for far too long. And this is where our locus of control is paramount. And this is a subset of psychology that defines a person's agency over themselves. Now, do you believe that what happens is external to you, having no control over life's events? Or do you believe that whatever comes your way, you have some sense of autonomy over it, where you have some responsibility in choosing your actions and its results? Those with a higher locus of control, or the ability to choose one's thoughts and actions during an event, have shown to have higher self-esteem, productivity, and confidence. In our professions, this is going to lead to action, higher level cognition, and denying risk aversion a hand at the table. While this is not completely binary, or a person exhibiting solely one or just the other, those who trend towards an internal focus and hold themselves more responsible for their actions and decisions tend to display greater physical and mental health throughout life. A host of the Happiness Podcast, Robert Puff, who's a PhD, says, "Pain is the natural physical or emotional discomfort we experience in response to adverse events. Suffering, on the other hand, is the mental and emotional anguish we create by resisting or clinging to the pain. It's the story we tell ourselves, the judgments we make, and the expectations we hold on to that amplify our suffering. Pain is the acute response to an event, something that we cannot altogether avoid, but suffering is how we attach ourselves to that pain." Now, there are many schools of thought, formal education, philosophy, or spiritual principles that address how to handle these life events. And just addressing suffering using a Buddhist principle that speaks of acknowledgement, acceptance, and letting go. For both good or bad events, accept the circumstance as it's happened to you. You cannot change it, and these are normal, though hard parts of life. Attaching yourself too strongly to an event is dangerous, so you just need to acknowledge that it has happened to you, and it's not who you are and not something that you need to wrap your identity around. Accept the event as a normal course of life that no one is immune to. And lastly, create mindfulness around the situation. Be aware in the moment, non-judgmentally, to create space between the stimulus and your well-being. You are not the event itself, you're just a piece in it, and you are able to learn, grow, course correct, and ultimately heal from the event. And life may be full of these hardships, so the most resilient human beings are the ones that have faced these trials head-on and used it as an opportunity for growth. However, there will be times where it may feel like some hardships last forever, and not knowing when that healing or reprieve may come. So enter endurance. Present-day convenience is nearly limitless. There's little edge. We wakened in these bleached hues, we saunter by with processed calories, and we sterilize our environments in ease and expediency. Humans' bandwidth for struggle has lessened because there is little tolerance for seeing difficulty through. For many, it feels as if there is no reward. Should we be surprised then that humans today are less resilient in the face of trials and tribulations? We lack discipline and endurance, character traits that we must hold and are dependent upon ourselves. In the fire service and in life, this difficulty will befall us. This is normal and part of the human experience. And more so, we invite some level of hardship by just the sheer nature of our profession. Over 57% of firefighters will at some point in their career experience moral injury. And that's an incident involving children, mass shootings, severe trauma, abuse, or just a personal lack of professional preparedness, and this all can result in harm. Further complicating life in this profession, 40 to 50% of firefighters binge drink at some point, over a third are overweight or obese, and a lack of professional expertise leads to PTSD symptoms because of an inability to perform in our profession. The interesting part of the latter is that these are items that we can control. Now, retired U.S. Navy SEAL Micah Fink says, "You are the energy source that feeds your own demise. You feed your own destruction and then complain about the very thing that you are feeding. You are feeding, clothing, and arming your own captors." Now, due to the severity of high-risk incidents or the frequency of the calls throughout, the stress hormone cortisol doesn't really have time to burn off. So this can also lead to a hijacked fight, flight, or freeze sympathetic nervous system. And when cortisol is ever present and not handled in a healthy way, health issues start to cascade in anxiety, depression, rumination, poor sleep hygiene, poor cognition, and reduced immunity. And when these issues take hold, it seems like a mountain of work to start. To start the journey of physical and mental wellness, of personal discipline and action, it seems too great. And so instead, we turn our attention to ease. So the social media doom scrolling, the grab and go foods, we wear down a spot on the couch, we oversleep, we undersleep, we overcaffeinate, and we don't nurture the relationships of our inner circle, and we don't pay attention to the relationship to ourselves. We give in to adversity and the setbacks. So again, let's first realize that this is part of the human experience. And across time and place, religions, Stoics, philosophers, and thought leaders have all discussed endurance of and through hardship. So let's look at some of these passages. Ancient Roman philosopher Seneca said, "I judge you unfortunate because you have never lived through misfortune. You have passed through life without an opponent. No one can ever know what you are capable of, not even you." Roman emperor and philosopher Marcus Aurelius said, "Everything that happens is either endurable or not. If it's endurable, then endure it. Stop complaining. If it's unendurable, then stop complaining. Your destruction will meet its end as well. Just remember, you can endure anything your mind can make endurable by treating it as in your interest to do so." For many, the obstacles saturate our perspectives and it disallows clear thinking, but therein lies the answer. The obstacle becomes the way, and we must meet it head on. When we build our discipline around habits that nurture overcoming challenges, we are increasing our resiliencies to any struggle in life. Our 0 to 10 scale is becoming broadened, and we also change the brain chemistry in our prefrontal cortex to deal with future hardships in a more productive way. In James 1, 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Further in Hebrews 12, 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us." When we experience life's hardships, it may feel never-ending. All other success or paths seem diminished, but realizing that hardship is part of cultivating a growth mindset, we can meet the challenge with the endurance that is required by the event. For many, this timing causes stress, But with the right mindset and character, a tragic event can lead to post-traumatic growth. And this growth nurtures maturity and resiliency in all aspects of life. And again, regarding cortisol, when we sit still and allow ourselves to ruminate on something stressful, we're only going to solidify that fear or stress response. So your ability to remain positive, or at the very least realistic with a positive undertone, is going to keep the mindset in a forward-thinking place instead of in a negative or suppressive downshift. In Zen Buddhism, a glass full of muddy water, left still, will allow the silt to drop to the bottom, clearing much of the water in it. And your stress, attitude, and anger are much the same. The stress, anxiety, or anger can often be minimized when we allow ourselves some space to meditate and downregulate, allowing time for clear, unhindered thinking. Now let's fast forward a little bit now to the 1800s. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "Good and bad are but names very readily transferable to that or this. The only right is what is after my constitution. The only wrong is what is against it. A man is to carry himself in the presence of all opposition as if everything were titular and ephemeral but he." Emerson is speaking to the fleeting life experience. We invite intrusive thoughts and people into our minds and lives without realizing that we are giving credence to things outside of ourselves, items that we would never seek their opinion but allow rent-free in our minds. Much of what we give weight to holds no formal authority and is short-lived. So why do we allow ourselves to become subject to them? So herein lies the analogy for life. Struggle is divine. Whereas a Stoic principle turned old sailing adage goes, "Lucter et emergo," and it means I struggle and emerge, or I struggle and rise up. How many times in life have we gone down a path to be met with difficulty, ambiguity, hardship, loneliness, realizing a lack of preparedness or knowledge to even know how to forge ahead? And oftentimes we look behind us because that's the known path, or maybe that's the safe place of knowing where we've come, and there's comfort in what is known. Or perhaps we just stay stagnant and we yield to the pressures of work and life. But that's where we're going to stand at this crossroads, and we need to decide. So the internal monologue becomes distracting. Do I stop? Do I keep going? But growth comes from change. It doesn't come from being stagnant. You know, the rearview mirror is there to check what is behind us, but we don't turn around in our seat to change trajectory. When you do come out on top, it's that literal mountaintop, or maybe it's just the challenge you've been facing day in and day out of your life, I invite you to lean in towards the challenge. We must be incredibly diligent and deliberate in finding uncomfortable areas in our life. And I don't necessarily mean discomfort in relationships and politics and health and finance. These are items in our lives that already cause undue stress and strife. What I'm talking about is to find challenges in life that nurture a growth mindset. Those in life that face adversity and come out the other side relatively unscathed find better physical well-being, higher life satisfaction, and fewer psychological and physical ill symptoms, according to a University of Buffalo study that followed over 2,500 people over a multi-year period. Now, where do we actually find calculated growth discomfort? Find something that's going to make you uncomfortable, preferably in nature, and this is going to be where safety nets are removed and the playing field is brutally even. According to the research, they must also be rather primal, like in the wilderness, compared to something more contrived, like an organized team sport or some urban marathon. Hikes in the wilderness, outdoor activities in inclement weather, backcountry hunts, long-distance swims, these are all just small examples. One such challenge I heard of was about a gentleman who moved a rock underwater for 5 kilometers. He never allowed himself to touch land before the feat was accomplished. He would dive down, he would move the rock along the ocean bottom as far as he could, and he would come up to catch a breath, tread water, dive back down, and he repeated this until all 5 kilometers of moving that rock were complete. Now, whatever you decide, it must be something that is going to stick with you for quite a while. And for me and my personal experiences, I know that I lived off the high of accomplishing the task for months and months afterwards. And there's really just 2 rules that apply. 1, don't die. And 2, it's got to be uncomfortable. Now, you need more reasons why enduring hardship and facing challenges head on is something worth pursuing. Douglas Fields of the National Institute of Health describes it as making short-term memories into long ones, because memories are about the future. We retain experiences that may be of survival value at another time. University of Buffalo psychologist David Seary says, "It's a toughening process. It should give this internal capacity that leaves me better able to deal with many things." It also doesn't need to be this sexy. So building resilience is about focusing on your daily discipline, your non-negotiables, your daily anchors. So challenging physical activity and workouts, listening to good music, engage with nature, find gratitude, meditate, connect with another human being, eating nutrient-dense foods, breath work, hot and cold immersion, travel, healthy sleep hygiene, etc. The alternative is just recirculating the stress through negative coping, such as the substance abuse, the isolation, the procrastination, and the self-sabotage. It goes back to simple, not easy. These are all things within our control, but for many, it's hard to take that first step or to stay focused and invested in the process. We become distracted. Trust the process, trust the journey, and remember that life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So if you ever feel truly overwhelmed, don't be afraid to ask for help from a professional. That's why they're there. They have the tools and resources to get you out of your funk and give insights on how to manage stress effectively. So how important is this mindset for the human element? Even more so for those of us in public safety. It is the ability to do hard things, face adversity, and find greater strength on the other side of hardship, instead of finding situations that paralyze us in this depression or fear. Our entire careers are largely dependent on facing adversity and still being able to do it again and again for possibly decades. If we're ever at a point where we are unable to perform, we're a liability to our team and ourselves. So get comfortable being uncomfortable and find ways to nurture your growth through tactical adversity. What's even better, get your team to do it together. You'll be better for it, body and mind. Thanks everyone for hanging out. If this is something you appreciated, every Monday I have a growth mindset episode that's only for the Patreon members, where we have short snippets that gives you something to focus on every week. Please like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out the Patreon page, where every day you get a workout. There's early access to the podcast, the Extremist Readiness podcast for Mayday Preparedness, growth mindset episodes. There's now a new meditation series coming out, and weekly mobility videos for injury prevention and rehab, plus a lot more like suggested reading lists and all kinds of workout programs. So if it's something you're interested in, it's only $6 a month. One-third of your membership goes to charity, and each quarter you have an opportunity to get a member give back. So thanks everyone. Check it out. Thank you.